Hi, I'm Garth Ennis, and you need to be listening to Drinking with Comics.
Thank you, sir.
No worries.
Hello, and welcome to Drinking with Comics. I'm Sean. This is Chris.
Hello.
That's Mike. That's Jordan. And in the middle, our guest, Dusty Grave from Stellar Corpses and Bat. So we have Kirsten is working the technical side of things, and we have a live studio audience. So thank you guys for coming.
A lot of you guys out there tonight.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick you up.
So, Mike, I heard you've been drinking absinthe all day.
Well, not all day, but like
since
some
like
of
9 a.m. I think.
Since 11:30. But it's cool, man.
Surprise,
it's
America.
A good trip. It's not like an inebriating thing, but it's a very...
It's not. I've always thought it's more like being stoned than it is being drunk.
It really is. Yeah. It's different.
You drink enough of it, it's going to be both.
Yeah, so if I touch some of you tonight, don't hold it against me.
Maybe.
Get your Me Too hashtag
ready
to go.
Yeah.
Well, that's the guest
seat. I left you some room.
Initiation.
That's good.
Oh, my God. Dusty, so talk to us about, so Stellar Corpses, I'm not familiar with Bat yet, but Stellar Corpses,
Nobody is.
You guys, psychobilly band, really steeped in kind of like horror culture, comic culture is there as well. I mean, I kind of think of the two as the same in a lot of ways. There's a lot of crossover. So the new, it's this year, I don't know when it came out, the new EP, I forget the actual name of the EP, it's on my...
Hellbound Heart,
which is...
Clive Barker.
I'm guessing based on Mr. Calabrese's guest spot on the song, is it a reference to Hellraiser?
Yeah, the novella that
Hellbound Heart wrote.
Yeah, that Hellraiser was based on.
Hellbound Heart, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's awesome track.
So it takes some cues from that. It's not an exact...
No, it's there.
You know, reading the plot of the movie or something like that, but it's there.
So talk to us about how you started the band and, like, what... Obviously, the impetus for, you know, a love of music and horror movies, or...
Oh, yeah, sure. I think you described it pretty well. We are based in Santa Cruz, California, pretty small town, and... So there's not a lot of guys that are into the same thing. And so when you are, you're kind of automatically friends.
Right, right.
And then if you can play music on top of that, then you're automatically in a band. So that's pretty much how that started.
You find yourself talking to these people, and a week later you're in a band.
And then there was actually three of us were bass players, so we had to decide who was going to learn other instruments.
That, I feel like the normal situation there would be like three of you would be guitar players. That was always like the thing.
That might be an LA thing, I don't know.
Maybe.
That you're the bass player in a band though, right?
I actually sing in Stellar Corpses.
Oh, okay, cool.
But you used to play bass.
What about the bats?
In Bat, okay, so that's a whole nother story. So first we started Batcave Records.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's me and another guy from another band, another guy from another band. And we wanted our bands to play for like a showcase with Thirsty Crows, who are also on the label. And but our bands couldn't do it. So we decided, well, let's put together just a for fun band.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that. And Cleopatra Records was at the show and picked us up. Signed us, and so that became a real band.
So
Bat.
How awesome is that? That like you're like, oh, we need a band. Let's just put together a band for fun and play. And then somebody comes up to you afterwards. They're like, I'm from Cleopatra Records. We'd like to sign you guys. Like now.
Yeah.
It's like that doesn't happen.
Right. Should I hold this up?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
This is artwork by a guy named Louis Barella,
who actually
did this as just like concept art, fan art, and just sent it to us. And yeah, we've played a handful of shows and posted a handful of pictures, and he took that and did this.
That's nice, dude.
What's it? Yeah.
Came out clean.
Yeah, criminals can run, but they can't hide. So basically, the idea of the band is that it's a group of vigilante rock star crime fighters.
You guys use guns or no? Just batarangs.
I think maybe some brass knuckles here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, it's just music.
Okay.
The power of rock and roll.
Power of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Because Batman does not use guns to fight.
Well,
crime.
I mean, unless
you're Thomas
Snyder's,
Wayne,
unless Snyder's directing it,
right?
Then he'll use
real Batman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, but as far as the backstory and everything, it's all it's all kind of being written.
The bat story.
The bat story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all kind of just being written right now.
That's awesome, though. And you were talking to me about that earlier. Like, you have a lot of ideas and stuff. And, I mean, it's cool that you're fleshing it out. And, again, the idea of bringing the comics and music together. I mean, I know there's been, you know, there's like a company, I forget the name of them. They do these band comics every once in a while. There was like a Slayer one, there was a Primus one. You did the Faith No More Bungle one.
Yeah, Acme Comics, yeah.
What is it?
Cool. Rock and Roll Biographies.
Rock and Roll Biographies, way back in the day.
That's the name of the imprint?
Yeah.
Yeah, the current one, yeah. But back in the day, it was Rock and Roll Comics.
Way back. I'm talking like when I was in high school.
In the 80s, yeah.
I remember there was a Metallica comic. That was before, you
that
know.
That guy was murdered in his apartment.
Metallica by was Lars, murdered?
Maybe.
Maybe by Lars.
Or by Bob Rock.
Who knows? But yeah, no, so there was a documentary about that original one, which inspired Mel to start the new imprint.
So wait, so the guy that did that comic was murdered?
In his apartment in New York, yeah. He's broke as fuck and murdered, and yeah.
Was it
it was in San Diego.
Was it in San Diego?
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better.
So there was a documentary made about him, which inspired my buddy Mel to like, oh, I want to do Rock and Roll Biography comics, and he had a list of comics, and he was carrying around San Diego, like Slayer, Metallica, blah, 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 and Faith No More was on there, and my buddy, Mike, not really my buddy, but Mike Oshanker, said, oh, if you're doing a Faith No More comic, Mike Wellman has to write it, and that was
That's pretty cool.
I'm Mike Wellman.
I know.
Yeah.
It was a good comic.
So who's your favorite Batman? Is it Adam West?
That's cool. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
Well, what I think was
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah, the Keaton. I met Michael Keaton one time, and I told him, like, you're my Batman.
Yeah.
I guess it was right at, like, the height of, like, you know, Batman Begins and all that kind of stuff, you know, and fuck all that shit, dude. I'm like, you're Batman.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.
Anyway, so, I think that the whole concept behind Bat is awesome. And I was telling you earlier, I'm new to Cellar Corpses. I'm new to your stuff in general, but that the new the Hellbound Heart EP is fantastic. Is it Respect the Dead? Is the other one that I?
That's the first.
Yeah, I listened to that as well.
That's the first thing we did. But you listened to the first thing and the most recent thing. That's pretty cool.
It's bookends.
2007, yeah, Respect the Dead, and the Cemetery Man song. So let's use this as a segue. So Cemetery Man is the second song on Respect the Dead.
Yes.
And it's about a movie from the 80s based on, I think it's the 80s, or
92, 93, okay. Maybe?
I've never seen the movie, but it's based on a comic.
Rupert Everett.
Everett.
That's great.
It's based on a comic called Dylan Dog.
Yeah.
I've heard. So it's based on a comic called Dylan Dog.
Yeah.
And
I got it on DVD.
When Chris was like, you know, Dusty's going to come on the show, and he said he's been reading Dylan Dog. And I was telling you earlier, I was like, oh, I'll just... For some reason, I thought it was just something that was on the shelf that I just, like, see all the time but hadn't read. So I was like, I'll just grab some at the comic book. And I quickly realized, like, you can't get that shit anywhere. And earlier, you were presented with this hardbound copy.
By my friend George A.
George A.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, gorgeous. George A? And it was, I believe it was in, it was untranslated in Serbian?
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, gorgeous. But... So I looked online. It's like you can't really find the translated stuff. It's there, and I know you guys were saying Dark Horse did some stuff,
yeah,
like 15 years ago or something, like 8 issues. So how did you stumble onto that?
Georgia just told me about it. For years, I've loved Cemetery Man, just that movie. And
okay. So that predates.
I wrote that song about it, and I just like loved that movie. And how I found out about the movie was somebody accused me of trying to be like Rupert Everett's character in Cemetery Man. Like the way I was dressing and stuff, I think I don't know, just the way I was dressing for some reason reminded her of that character, and she's like, are you trying to be Cemetery Man? And I was like, who is that? And she's like, oh, you haven't seen that? And so I watched it, and then ever since it's been my favorite movie.
That's cool.
And I knew it was an Italian film that was wasn't very popular over here, which kind of makes it cooler. For some reason,
I love Italian stuff.
And it's just so cool because it's a horror movie. It's like got action in it. It's got
comedy.
It's got sex. It's just like the four food groups.
Four food groups, action, horror, comedy, and sex.
He's on Tinder at one point in the cemetery Tinder.
I mean, I remember watching that like when I was maybe like 13, 14 years old, like late night, like HBO.
Yeah.
Like they would run that right around like when they do Tales from the Crypt. Like that would kind of be a follow up that they would run every now and then. You know, when they do the rotation of like 20 movies that they would always do. That was always one of them, and that's the one that like made me like lock into it.
I mean, I've always heard of it. I just never seen it. It's
hard to get a copy of it.
I found out after he
told me. I have the DVD in a box somewhere. I'll
have a DVD
too,
but the sound quality is crap.
Oh,
I would
one
just
of those.
Love for somebody to just take that.
Somebody will. I mean, we're in this age where they're
can
taking,
we do it? I'd like to do
like,
it. I'd like to be a part of
Scorpion
that.
Releasing. I mean, there's all
Bat-Cape
these
records,
like really Arrow,
Cleopatra Records,
Shout, and Scream Factory. And they dig up this stuff that has a niche following, and they'll put out great editions of it. Sometimes it's limited
That's,
copies.
What
do
you say, Waxworks?
Waxworks? Well, I was saying like you've got Shout and Scream Factory. You've got Arrow.
Oh, okay.
You've got Scorpion. You've got I think there's one called Code Red. There's all of the Blue Underground. I mean, all of these Blue Underground does a lot of Italian stuff because I just watched a Fulci that was Blue Underground. And they'll do these like 2K or 4K transfers of movies that like you never like. I think somebody did a Rawhead Rex 4K transfer. I think that's what we saw at Beyond Fest last year. Mm. And it's like, holy fuck! Who was like, you know what needs a 4K transfer? Rawhead Rex. Even Clive Barker's like, no, it doesn't. Just burn it. Burn the fucking negative. Somebody will do it.
Yeah, Cemetery Man needs to. So anyways, then my friend Georgie was, we were at a show, and he's wearing this like Dylan Dog shirt. I think he's wearing one right now.
No.
And he was like, hey, so you like Cemetery Man? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, this is the comic that it's based off of. And I was just like, mind blown. Like, there's a comic.
Isn't that awesome when that happens?
Are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, they're all in Serbian though. And I'm like, no. But it turns out there's actually a few that are translated into English. So I bought all those immediately.
And those are
they're
the ones
from Italy originally, right?
They're from Italy. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know why they're in Serbian, but I don't know.
The ones the translated ones, those are the ones with the Mignola covers, right? The Hellboy creator
Yeah, Mike
covers?
Mignola, he did do a lot of covers.
The ones that were American?
Yeah.
Yeah, the American translated editions.
Oh, yeah.
So Mike Mignola, who does Hellboy.
Were those actually translated, or did they actually just like lift the character and retell it? Or were
they
actual translated?
That's a great question.
Mike Mignola covers on.
Georgia should be up here for this.
Yeah. I mean, they were cheap black and white reprints.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, from Dark Horse. Yeah.
And they just got Mignola, too.
Yeah. In the 90s. Like, late 90s,
It's so funny, because, the art, I feel like I was just looking at it yesterday.
What is Psychobilly?
There we go.
That's a good question.
That's a question for you and Chris.
Is it from the crypt and that type of genre?
I don't know if... I think you could lump it in there really with it. I mean, Rocket from the Crypt's definitely, like, I would say that's like more like garage.
What was it? Say again?
Metalheads and punk rockers go to die.
That's awesome.
That is. And goths. Don't forget goths.
Yeah, it's do you know what rockabilly is?
Yeah.
Yeah, early rock and roll, 50s rock and roll. It's that mixed with like punk rock.
But kind of with like spooky overtones.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
The good ones.
Slap bass and pomade,
too.
Right?
Yeah.
Slap bass and pomade.
Or,
you know what? That's
more hairspray.
That's the name of the next album, dude.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Psychobilly's
somebody gave me some pomade in the Philippines.
Dude, I'm
like, what do I do with this?
I'm still, give it to me, dude.
I don't want to know what you did with it.
I actually dipped my balls in it.
Okay, keep it.
I didn't want to know what he did with it, and that's exactly why.
I'll give it to you.
We're working on our Suavecito endorsement, so we'll go with pomade instead of hairspray. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
I always go to, I always call it rockabilly, but I always go to, in the 90s, I found and fell fucking in love with Reverend Horton Heat.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I mean,
I just realized you're wearing a Sun Records Johnny Cash t-shirt. Yeah. Sun Records, right? I mean, there's...
Early R&R.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, Reverend Horton Heat, you
Carl
consider Perkins. That psychobilly?
Oh, I mean, psychobilly freak out. Or, I mean, I kind of go full custom, Liquor in the Front, which is probably the most metal. I mean, fucking Al Jorgensen produced the fucking thing. And then Martini Time, which to me, like Generation Y, I would always listen to that song and be like, it's a fucking thrash song, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so fucking fast.
Yeah.
But so that was, and like I said, I didn't know, I at that time I'd never heard the word psychobilly. I just was like, I guess rockabilly.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a good summary that that Paolo gave us. Yeah, psychobilly is 1950 based punk rock with a more gothic theme.
Yeah.
But it, I think it
psychobilly is like rockabilly with psychologically
and zombies.
Demented people playing it.
Yes. That's exactly
it,
right.
Makes more as an
yeah,
subject.
That is good.
Yeah.
And a shared love of Betty Page. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've never met anybody who did not love Betty Page.
Sure,
yeah.
Hope that answered your question.
What did I shout about?
I don't know.
So I met the bass player of White Zombie, Sean Yassault, once.
Yeah.
And I used to masturbate to their music videos in the 90s. So I felt the need to tell her that. What?
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
What?
Back up. Did you just say that you met the bass player from White Zombie,
Sean Yassault, yeah.
And you told her what?
I was like, yeah, I used to masturbate to music videos when I was a teenager.
So do you know why that is probably unbelievably offensive to Sean Yassault?
She was cool.
Do you, so if I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken, I just found this out recently. I didn't, so I loved White Zombie's two albums. It's La Sexorcisto and Astro Creep.
Right,
the reason why they broke up and the very inferior Rob Zombie project came out.
Because Rob Zombie used to masturbate to the music videos?
Because they were a couple, and he dumped her for the go-go dancer that was in all of the videos.
Oh,
I didn't know
the one
this.
That's in all his movies.
Is that Sherry Moon?
And then you just told her.
So you basically just went up to Sean Yassault and said, I used to masturbate to your band's videos that had the woman that your boyfriend...
No. He said to you in the videos.
No, he didn't. Yeah, he said to your videos.
To the videos.
But
certainly the bass player.
Which had Sherry Moon in it.
Yeah, exactly. Sherry Moon was all over those videos. Wait, why are we fucking talking about this? Oh my God, you sucked me into your black
hole.
We're
talking about psychobilly.
I'm a big Sandman fan, much to Mike's chagrin. And, ended in like, I was in high school, and then there were some series that spun out of it, The Dreaming and Lucifer, which is fucking genius, but largely it was done, and Neil Gaiman has gone on to a excellent prose career, and then a couple years ago he announced, and he was coming back to Sandman, and he was going to do 6 issues with J.H. Williams III, who was like one of the greatest artists in the world. And I was very excited, and I read the first couple issues of Overture that took like 2 years for 6 issues to come out. That was probably part of the problem. I never bought the 6th issue. I got really upset with the series and felt like the art was amazing and the story just blew. Unfairly, I judged it. And
Neil Gaiman's wife's music career.
We won't get into that. But
that's a horse of a different color,
so,
Mike.
So recently... Recently, DC announced they have this new thing where they're really strip mining Vertigo, the old Vertigo. They're trying to do something with it, right? So they announced they're going to do a Sandman universe. So they're going to do 4 books based on Neil Gaiman's Sandman. He's not writing any of them, but he's like overseeing it fine. And the first issue came out. So it's Sandman universe number 1. It was pretty good. It's very perfunctory. It you know, they're basically launching they're setting this up by launching 4 new books. It's House of Whispers, which is something new.
1-1-1.
A Lucifer series, a Books of Magic series, and The Dreaming. So it's a little hurried, but it was good. I was interested. But so what was kind of cool was I went back and Jeff that works here was like, you should reread Overture. Try it. So I started rereading it, and I found it. I had unfairly dismissed it. It's not as good as the original series, but it's pretty good, and the art is amazing. So I needed to get the 6th issue. So I went on
8, right?
No, 6. I went on eBay and I found this thing that was really cool. So I bought a copy of the 6th issue which had an exclusive cover, which I don't care about exclusive covers, but it's a charity called the Hero Initiative. And I've now come to find out like people I know that are here actually know these guys and have worked with them. But what they do is they are a charity, and you buy stuff from them. They get like exclusive covers and stuff, and you buy it, and the money goes to comic creators who no longer draw income from making comics and maybe have, you know, health issues or whatever. And I thought it was really, really cool. So I also thought it was cool that when they sent me the Sandman, they also sent me this Ed Hannigan covered book. And it's basically like, this is where my money went, was to Ed Hannigan. And so it goes through a bunch of his covers and his artwork for Marvel in the 80s. And, oh my God, we've crossed the streams.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
You're all in trouble.
I was going to share it.
So this book is all about Ed Hannigan, and it's not narrative. It's just kind of an overview of all of his art and stuff. And it says, you know, it goes, he was born in August 1951 in Newport, Rhode Island. How he got into Marvel.
He did some striking cover designs.
Planet of the Apes. You know, and it talks about it. He tried to tailor cover designs to the style of whichever artist was going to do the final art, which I thought was really cool. Also introduced some trademark features of his own, most famously messing with the logo in one way or another, where they would do these books where they would destroy or distort the logo for the book in some way that went with the cover art. And so, and then it says, when the comics business contracted in the early 90s, Ed was forced to find other employment. He ended up doing some computer graphics work for a publisher in Massachusetts for 9 years. In the course of those years, he was diagnosed with MS. He lives in New Hampshire with his wife and two children. And so, like, I thought it was just amazing. I didn't know that this was out there. And
the Hero Initiative.
Yeah, the Hero Initiative. So look them up. I mean, if you're looking for stuff, you know, occasionally, I mean, Mike really, you know, does an excellent job of providing almost anything you could want here. But, I mean, you know, occasionally stuff falls through the cracks, and I'll go on eBay and find something. But I will always go to them first because I think that's so cool. Because as anybody that is in any art-based career or initiative knows, like, there's no fucking net to any... I mean, like, you have to have your day job, and let's face it, I'm not going to go on a political tirade. It's not really politics. It's just the way the world is. Like, there is no net for anybody. I mean, by the time we're 60, there's not going to be fucking Social Security, so... I mean, I
do a lot of work with them, actually.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Rusty amazing. Just passed away today. I don't know if you guys heard.
Dude, so that was, I was going to go to that, too.
I mean, he was going to be our guest at the last creator meeting, but the logistics were just not in our favor. And I didn't realize how close he was to the end. But so I do a lot of work with the Hero Initiative. We're working with them at Long Beach Comic Con and LA Comic Con.
That's awesome. I think it's a really worthwhile.
Wonder Woman. Remember you guys came to the Wonder Woman.
Oh, the auction!
I was very drunk.
Didn't you spend like $10,000 on a comic?
I spent way too much money on the Hero Initiative that night.
What are you drinking?
I kind of have a mixed bag here. I threw a little party at my house the other day, and I was left with like 80 fucking beers.
Isn't that a Billy Joel song?
I don't know.
Fucking party at my house the other day and I was left with 80 beers. I think it is.
If it's not, you should write that shit down because
we'll sell Thirsty Crow song.
Right? There you go.
That's not a bad idea, actually. So I guess I got the North Coast Brewing, was it Prankster, but with a Q for some fucking reason?
I don't think I've ever seen it in a small bottle. I always see the big bottle. It's good. It's very good.
It's not too damn bad, yeah.
I believe it's Belgian style.
It is Belgian. Yeah. Hey, and they're a certified B corporation. Whatever the fuck that means. I don't know if I'd like that, but...
Corporation B.
It's getting the job done. It's not too bad, and they're not paying me for an endorsement, so I'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right.
What do you got going on? You got
this is Leavenworth Beers Dark Wheat Ale. It's a Dunkelweizen. We're moving in October. My favorite summer beer this year, the Strand Blonde. It's like it sells out every 3 weeks. Total Wine gets like a six pack, and I buy it, and it's gone for another 3 weeks.
They're just supplying you,
basically. So I'm just gonna give up on the summer beers and move right into my favorite time of the year, October, for all reasons, but you know, beer being one of them. Go with the no. Although, you know, I gotta tell you, I heard somebody say, what was it, that IPA is pumpkin spice for like
white dudes.
And I was holy shit. Fuck, yeah. That's so accurate.
Yeah.
That's so accurate.
Well, no, I was seriously debating that for a long time. I was just going to get a shit ton of pumpkin spice and just leave a big trail from the Manhattan Beach Pier all the way up Manhattan Boulevard here to try to fill this place up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe it'll work. Maybe.
We'll see. We're working on it. The Delta Bombers, Real Road Stories, Russia.
So
we played a show with a band. I'd like to sing that. It's more dramatic. You get the dot.
It is a cool. I think that's like a DUI test now. Like, is this a is this an ellipse or a colon?
I'll be up there. All right, ZYX. No,
sorry.
So we did a show a week or two ago with this really great kind of traditional, really raw rockabilly band called the Delta Bombers. And walking by their merch booth, I see this, and it is.
I read that. It's really good.
It is the Delta Bombers Real Road Stories Russia number one. I don't know if number two is going to be in Russia as well. I would like to think everyone's a different city.
Yeah, probably
a different tour.
Different country.
Yeah. But basically, it tells...
Those guys are on the road all the time, so there's probably lots of stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have to have more common. But it's basically this just a little short story about them trying to get through to Russia and how their bass player... decided to party until 2:37 the night before.
At least.
Yeah, at least.
He was dancing on the bar at 2:37.
That is true. Cracking a new one, too.
Yeah, right.
Because that way he could sleep better on the airplane to get, on the way to Russia. Meanwhile, the rest...
in theory.
Yeah.
It's a great theory.
I've made the same mistake. Not going to Russia, going to Ireland, but made the same. Oh, stay up all night, get drunk, sleep on a plane. Doesn't fucking work. Tell you right now.
Talk. Basically, here's the band the next day calling him. Where the fuck are you? We're surrounded by Russians at the airport, and you're not here. Meanwhile, he's answering, hello, in bed. Oh, fuck. Okay, I'm packing now. I'll be right there. You're fucking packing now? And basically, he misses his first flight, at which point he has to go to...
drives through the desert in a rental car.
He has to go pick up a rental car and haul ass through the desert to try to catch up with these guys.
I love, like, the Russian guy. He's,
on
like,
their
he's
layover.
Got, like, the tracksuit or
that's
whatever,
so good.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, surrounded by the women with the... Oh.
I think that, isn't that one of the band members that's wearing the tracksuit?
Oh, is it one
of
them?
He's, like, trying to blend in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, aren't you going to change out of your airplane comfort?
Yeah.
And he says,
yeah, that's Kurt.
Hell
he's
no,
got
man.
The fucking neck pillow.
I'm coming to Russia. I'm going to blend in.
That's fucking fantastic.
But so meanwhile, their bass player's trying. He rents a car to just book it through the desert to drive as quickly as he can to L.A. to try to meet the connecting flight.
Which we all know there's no quick way to do that.
No.
No quick way.
And I want to say, what do they say? He misses it by about like 20 minutes. And so they're freaking out in Russia, and they think, okay, shit, we're just going to have to do this kind of without them.
Are you going
to
spoil the ending?
Maybe not.
I love this picture. Like,
what happens?
It took me a long time to realize those were boobs.
Yeah, that is.
Because of their, like, the...
I'm going to take a picture so we can see.
Yeah, I know.
That's
like a very, like, droopy dog... I don't know. It's just really weird looking.
It's a party scene.
It's almost like Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah,
style.
I'm
thinking
like,
too. Yeah.
Especially.
I really like the art. Who's the artist?
Mm-hmm. The artist of this is Misimo. That's kind of Misi is the only thing he's being credited as.
It's a good story. And it's
Misimo.
Really well told. Like considering it's a rock band probably writing a comic. Mm-hmm. That has never written a comic before, and the pacing is really good.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
and it's a really cool story, and like you were saying, like they're always on the road, and I know they have a shit ton more stories, so I'm really hoping that this
are they on your label
sells.
No,
they're actually on another label, Wild Records.
So you're the head of
really
label
good
that
traditional
Thirsty Crows are on, right?
Right. Yeah.
How did you discover the Thirsty Crows?
Co-founder.
Ooh, that's a good question.
We've known these guys for a long time.
Okay.
Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've just... Yeah, Chris is a friendly, outgoing guy. And,
he is.
Yeah. And,
I try.
Yeah, we've just known them for a long time. There was actually the last Stellar Corpses tour a year or so ago. We got our trailer ripped off. All our stuff was stolen
in the middle
of a tour.
Oh,
and,
my God. I remember him telling me
about
this.
And so we... we had the choice of either, like quitting and going home or continuing.
Never quit.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Yeah, never quit.
No, so we just put it out there and said, hey, if we can borrow people's gear to finish out the tour, that'd be great. And Chris was nice enough to lend us his equipment, his bass gear and everything. Super
fucking
nice.
Fucking A, dude. Show must go on.
Just really, really showed up.
That's
him
awesome.
And a lot of other people, too, and it's pretty cool.
Who read Guns A-Blazin' number 6?
I did.
Question.
I did.
You did?
I did.
All
right. I did.
Was that the one with
the fucking Thirsty Crows?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I saw he showed me a screenshot of it.
So,
I wanted to check it out.
So let me just say, this is the way. So I reread the whole series over the last couple days, mm-hmm. and then yesterday I got home from work and I read 5 and 6. So you have a CD that comes with the last issue, and Carole King does
and,
a suite.
And vinyl.
And well, and
they,
there will
they
be vinyl.
Press a record
coming out,
it
yeah.
comes with
yeah.
it, yeah.
And so Carole King does a suite, and I met him at Long Beach Comic Con last year. Great guy. I bought
cool
one
dude.
Of his albums. Amazing. Very, I mean, just, you know, I can.
He's on another level as far as
I can see, like,
process.
All of the, a lot of the, like, there's the Zappa influence and the, obviously, orchestral influence, but also, like, the Bungle, you know, web mimicry kind of stuff going
yeah.
on. Whatever. I mean, that's selling it short, even that. It's its own thing. But so it's very orchestral and it's very dramatic and it's very cinematic. So I get home, I read 5, and then I get my cat here. I put the CD in, hit play, and I start reading. And goddamn, Mike, I got to tell you, man, it wasn't like it was synced to it, you know. But I mean, it fit like the opening theme, the way
it set the tone,
the way it swells at the beginning in the first, you know, 30 seconds or whatever. It's very cinematic. It reminds me of Star Wars, and it just it was such a good reading experience. And I've always loved music and comics. Like, and you just like you knew exactly what you wanted. I mean, I don't know what did you tell Carole?
I just said do like John Williams meets Ennio Morricone, and
he did.
And I knew he had the capability, and he did it.
That's what the artwork looks like too.
Yeah.
It's very throwback,
yeah,
sort of '80s meets '60s.
Rafael Navarro did.
The artist.
Dude,
yeah,
I recognize the art.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Good.
Cool. He's fucking great too. Dude, there's some art in there.
Is one of the characters based on him too?
They both are.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
The blonde is Mike. And Raphael is Eddie.
Fun little piece of trivia. Raphael Navarro actually did our album cover for our new album.
Yep. Again.
Talented motherfucker.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, he's my best friend. And
oh, of course, dude. Those are the best kind of plugs, man. The shameless ones.
The shameless ones.
Because they're at least they're honest, you know?
Yeah. So this is my third project, okay? First I did Mac Afro. Second I did Gone South. Mm-hmm. This is Guns Blazing.
What's next?
The
What's next
done.
In the wheelhouse of
the
Wellman?
The Guns of Blazing story is done. We might revisit it. We might not. But I've not revisited Mac Afro. I've not revisited
Gone South.
You know what you should revisit?
What?
Something from your childhood.
Well, yeah, Sleek Star. That's the next project.
I'm setting you up, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm setting you up.
So what I'm saying is, like, I might go back there. I don't need to. Like,
okay,
that story's done. There is more to tell, but...
But it doesn't necessarily have to be. I respect that.
Right. So I don't have to. But as far as I'm concerned, like, you have that story is, you know, front, middle, and done. Yeah.
You want to talk about Vince's book?
Yeah, let's talk about
it. We should wrap somewhat soon.
Yeah, we should. We haven't talked a lot about comics, have we?
No, but that's fine.
Artifact 1. Who's read it? Have you read it?
I read it.
Nope.
Sean, you want to talk about it?
I mean, it's a cool departure for Aspen. It didn't feel like anything else I've seen by them.
It's gorgeous.
It reminds me a little bit of something. I don't think the story, the art, but the colors, like, really, I don't know, they're, it's
so
really unique.
I read it, I thumbed through it. To me, it strikes me as like they're gonna kind of go in a direction of like an Indiana Jones kind of thing, you know. It's gonna be more of like an adventure. You know,
like a Tomb Raider.
She's going after some kind of object. The people are trying to stop it for whatever reason or get it for themselves. But I mean, it's very, I don't want to use the word cliche, but it's very, it's well done. But I feel like I kind of read it before.
I think
it, you know, it's very the clergy. They want to keep the knowledge and the information down.
Well, it functions on a certain archetype that is, I mean,
and archetypes are just cliches.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a fancy word for cliche. Nope, there's 12.
To me, it was like 12. It was like Tomb Raider meets Avatar, with amazing coloring.
What makes it meet Avatar?
I don't like either of those things, so I didn't get that. But I guess I could see that.
What's that?
I don't like Tomb Raider or Avatar, so I liked that.
Avatar's a fucking awesome band. You should check them out, dude.
I think he was referring
to the movie.
The movie.
We don't talk about that bullshit.
It's a cool band. The movie.
Hey, but did you hear? They're actually filming like up through 7 now. They're gonna come out.
Yeah, they're
no, they're coming out.
Street,
yeah, they're coming out, man. They're coming out. They're coming out.
Jordan
all
Red,
at once.
Jordan read West Coast Avengers.
Oh God!
Let's talk about West Coast.
Now that's some fucking bullshit.
I made one.
I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. Hey, how many 15-year-old girls want to read West Coast Avengers? Raise your hand. Here you go.
No, I definitely got whiffs of like, oh my God, look how quirky we are.
Oh,
no,
it's taking everything that's great about the Hawkeye series that Faction wrote and making it like tweet. It's like a,
I made it 3 pages in and I just said,
awful.
Fuck this shit.
Even like the,
I thought it was fine, but
let's listen to Jordan.
The monster. Okay, you're right.
Listen to Jordan.
He's a cynical old man.
It's fine. Yeah, you guys are all cynical old men.
I like
men,
this.
Yes.
I too am a bit cynical, and it is very look how quirky we are. I like Hawkeye. I like both of the Hawkeyes. I like America. And end of list, really. Except, you know,
you
Gwen
liked
Cole.
It though. You liked it more than that.
It's fine.
What's the plot? What's the premise? Give me some more.
Some weird shit's going on. They're trying to get West Coast Avengers together. Quentin is the only one with actual superpowers, but he's a total self-obsessed douchebag. There were land sharks and a giant Tigra.
Yeah, Tigra was on the original team.
Yeah, so the original West Coast Avengers was in the 80s before, you know, Iron Man and Captain America were like big sellers. Within like the small limited comic book community, the Avengers, I feel like were like, I don't know how it was popular enough to warrant a spin-off series, but they did the West Coast Avengers, and it was like Hawkeye, Mockingbird, Tigra, Vision, Scarlet Witch, and
the Shroud.
Yeah, at some point, and it just it.
I don't feel like Moon Knight should be on the West Coast like ever. It's
well, Bendis
sunny
put him on
here.
The West Coast in the Bendis may leave Moon Knight, and it was good. It was really
you know,
good.
Everything besides Alias, dude, Bendis can just fucking suck my dick,
dude.
I don't know.
He's
Alias
Superman.
Alias was awesome.
Alias is the bomb.
But fuck Brian Bendis.
But it's like they're trying to like make the nod to the legacy, which I appreciate, I guess. But the thing, like, there's all these land sharks running around, and you know, so, who wrote it? Who wrote this?
Yeah.
Brand Mendes.
Kelly Thompson.
Okay, no offense, Kelly Thompson, but I feel like I could just see, like, you know, it'd be funny. Remember that Saturday Night Live skit, Land Shark, Mrs. Bargain, yeah. Barson, UNICEF.
I'm only a dolphin.
Yeah, UNICEF, just okay. Dolphin, land shark, like. What if we made that the villain? Like,
yeah,
that's
literally,
where Marvel
literally.
Is, you know? It's like...
It's only in the beginning, though. They turn him around, they go back in the ocean, they don't come back, and then...
I mean, I looked at the cover, and I saw, like, the West Coast, but it's, like, written in, like graffiti tag, like a big post.
I always try to do that with West Coast stuff. It's like,
yeah. Oh, West Coast, graffiti, it's urban.
Yeah.
You know, there you
yeah.
go.
Like,
huh.
I mean,
and they do that, and literally, I opened the first fucking page, and here's the female Hawkeye... riding a fucking shark with legs, and I just I noped right the fuck out of there.
That sounds awesome.
It's not.
Well, it's sold
laser,
out. So there you
lasers?
Go.
No, it needs laser. It's some freaking laser beams.
If it was a shark with lasers, then
it's after the boy Hawkeye being descending to the camera people, a Geico ad. Then you get land sharks.
Well, okay,
it's like the Office meets.
Sorry,
the
I made it through Clinton Barton.
West Coast Avengers Volume 2: The Search for More Money.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you're hired, Marvel. There you go.
Thank you. All right.
The other thing is, I'm sorry, but anything that uses Gwenpool.
Marvel, here, I come up with an idea. What do you find? Nothing. What about you? Nothing. What about you? Me ain't found shit. You're hired.
Hey, that's right.
And that's how it came.
Anything that uses Gwenpool. Come, I mean it's. Really? Like, is that... That's actually a character.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
Gwenpool.
Pretty sparingly, but she actually did tell Doctor Strange that they made a Doctor Strange movie and it stars Benedict Cumberbatch.
They're so fucking meta. Good job, Marvel.
She's the meta one.
Once again,
wow.
That's
what... I don't know what comic that is. It's a Doctor Strange.
You should.
I still stand by this. Marvel, fucking great movies, shit books. DC, great books, shit movies. At least after, like, you know, the first few were fucking awesome, dude, and then it just fizzled out, man. You know,
there
Suicide
you
Squad, Wonder Woman, fucking turds,
Don
dude.
Don Bickman feels
that
Dusty should be in black and white.
Dusty.
You mean he's you mean he's not in black and white?
Oh, and Dusty actually responded.
He's always in black and white. Yeah, I was saying that maybe you can do that in post-production.
I could, but Sean handles it.
Oh, okay. No, that's...
Maybe Sean can...
Maybe
there are some good Marvel books.
Yeah. Okay, so there's one more I want to talk about that came out from Cullen Bunn
on Aftershock.
This is Aftershock. I've been liking what they've been doing.
Yeah,
I know,
man, they're good.
I know
they're
you're
good.
Not a fan of Ennis's Jimmy's Bastards.
Not at all, but dude, a Walk Through Hell, I think, is fucking amazing.
It is. It absolutely is.
Where's the
is.
Fourth issue? I need it now.
Third one came out?
Hey, one
yeah.
I didn't get the third. It's one that I read.
What'd yeah, this is cool. one that I read.
I thought it was cool. Yeah.
So this is a book called Unholy Grail, and it's basically the untold story of the Arthurian legend of, you know, the whole the Knights of the Round Table and all that bullshit. With the exception of this is what really happened, and it's nothing but, you know, gore and death and destruction. It's it wasn't happy
Merlin,
Camelot.
Merlin is a demon killed Merlin and took his skin.
That's yeah. awesome.
And then the whole story is told from
you
that
read
perspective.
This?
Yeah, I actually
oh,
read
nice.
This one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris gave me some of the ones that we were going to talk about today.
He
but
no, that's number three.
No, that's what I said.
Thank you.
I said I don't
oh,
have
I'm
it.
Sorry.
Maybe
but
I
yeah,
don't
this
have
one
it.
Was cool.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, so yeah, essentially, yeah, exactly. So a demon kills Merlin, takes his skin, goes to the deathbed of Uther Pendragon, Arthur's father, and basically, you know, announces that, you know, the child is going to be the next king,
through
you know, much to
Uther,
the chagrin.
Uther can't talk because he's on his deathbed,
yeah.
So Merlin actually reaches his hand into the guy's head and uses him as a puppet and says,
oh, that's awesome.
And names Arthur as the heir to the throne.
Yeah.
Oh my God! That's
jabs
awesome.
His fingers in there, and then the king has spoken, and so he is gone. hey, you know what? That's even better because there was an episode where he just straight started shirtless. I'll
yeah.
leave it at that.
Oh, okay.
And it also tells a little bit of the story about how essentially
oh, awesome.
He Arthur at the bequest of Merlin. Is sacrificing or giving offerings to the Lady of the Lake by giving the swords of these different would-be kings and lords and things that from, you know, from everybody around.
That he killed.
Yeah, that he's killed. And essentially it's kind of revealed that the Lady of the Lake is really, you know, another kind of demon entity that uses that lady as a kind of puppet. You know, picture a little tentacle coming up, you know, oh, I'm a lady. That's basically like what it is. Meanwhile, you're seeing, oh God, what's it? Percival. Percival, you know, Arthur's famous knight who was on the quest for the Holy Grail. You see him basically returning with what he believes is the Holy Grail. He returns to Camelot and finds utter fucking destruction. And he's just so overwhelmed. He's tired. He's just like, well, at least I did my quest. Sits down in the only, like, remaining chair at the round table, which is Arthur's chair. Didn't know it, but Merlin has cursed that chair that only certain people can sit there. And, yeah, he basically ends up dying himself. And it really just kind of...
So Camelot's destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, Camelot's utterly destroyed. So it's kind of flashback, flash forward, flash middle.
Yeah, there's
I don't
some
really,
time shift stuff happening.
You know, really, this issue really does... act as a zero issue in the sense that it sets the tone, it sets the ideas of things, but doesn't really get into the whole, you know, overall arc of what the book is,
mm-hmm.
Which is nice. You know, you get that idea from it, and you kind of it really makes you wonder, well, what's coming next?
Right.
Who's the publisher?
Aftershock Comics.
There was like, wasn't there like five issues?
There's like maybe six.
Did you read them all?
I think I've read the first three. So
okay.
Oh, so that so they're already
there. It looks seemed complete.
Yeah.
To me.
Oh, I thought that. Okay, I thought this had just come out.
No,
but
no,
it seemed
no.
Like, well, one thing that I thought, one complaint I guess, is that it moved fast through things. Like it set up the sword and the sword and the stone story, and Merlin cursed it so that it sounded like not only could only one person, the true heir to the throne, pull the sword out, but anybody else who tried and failed, there was like a curse and something really bad would happen.
Oh.
But then flash forward to Arthur pulling it out. And it's just like, whoa, I wanted to see...
Yeah, what happened more in between, right?
Yeah. More fuck-ups, like, I got this
really,
shit.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it felt like there could be more, but...
We're going to say goodnight, and we probably overstayed our welcome. Mike is kicking us out. That's
I'm not
fucked
kicking
up.
Anybody
That's
out.
Fucked
I'm
up
saying
that
it's
Mike
11,
is kicking
10.
Us. No, I know. I'm fucking with you. So anyway, so Dusty, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
And
thanks.
Somebody thanks put out. Somebody put out Cemetery Man and some translated Dylan Dog. So,
please.
You know, I think it's gonna. I really think it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And be sure to
check out Bat coming soon from Cleopatra Records
and Stellar Corpses, a Hellbound Heart EP. I mean, there are others as well. That's just the most recent. And then Thirsty Crow's got a record coming out
soon.
We do.
And Guns a Blazin'.
We have a record coming
Hardcover coming out
and
tomorrow.
Yeah, and he has a record coming out.
We have a record coming out. Yeah. September 12th.
And nice. You know what? Real quick, I just want to say.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I talked about Carl King's Suite on that, but Junior, Duff's band also. Like,
yeah.
They're
great,
fucking
man.
Great. All right.
Just
so
saying.
From those of us at Drinking with Comics to you at home, thank you and good night.
I want to give a shout out to my new friend, Lorraine.